Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. And it is now or never. And this is usually when I do my annual How to Set Effective Goals. And I had every intention of doing that. However, I kind of ran out of time. And I think closing out this last 3 days with this fourth day on how to take your county, how to actually create a movement within your county is far more important. So I am going to put in the links the previous How to Set Effective Goals shows that I've done. That way, if you're ready to actually set out a map, a course for your own personal life and how to improve yourself, you know, in every aspect that you possibly could want to improve yourself, then listen to those previous shows where I talk about how to set effective goals. Because if you understand how to set effective goals, you can be very successful. The problem is focus. I mean, 9 times out of 10, and there's these old cliches that, you know, we can easily apply, but bottom line, you have to visualize, you have to focus on who you are, where you want to go, and how you have to get there. And as long as you, you know, hold tight to your vision, you're going to make it there. But you can't make it there unless you have focus. So you have to actually sit down and write and articulate and work out this map. This map has to be your course of what you need to do to get there. So we kind of go through all of those things in previous shows. And instead of airing another show in light of the new year for New Year resolutions, we're just going to place the link right there. We actually have, you just go back to the last two shows of the past couple of years and you'll hear me going through this in different iterations. Now, as I basically said, as we kind of started off in how we kind of formed this government and how we went from a government of magistrates and or an architecture top down to a bottom up architecture to where the sovereigns actually rule. And when I say the sovereigns, that means we the people and the governments we institute. The chief and primary government that rules all governments is your county. Your county government is the hierarchy. It is the primary government because it is your local government where you've delegated the majority of powers. It is the state government that you've limited and constrained to support your counties and your federal government to support your states. There, ergo, the bottom up, as we have built this architecture, we limit more and more in those governments further away. Now, we have never created and or formed and or organized a national, or I should say an international government. In other words, the concept of our involvement in anything other than the states and the, I'll call it the general government or the federal government. That right there is the limit of our involvement and the laws that we are subject to. In other words, because there's never been a delegation to the federal government to align and create treaties and to subjugate us to international law, the fact is that all of that is unconstitutional, which is why all of these international things, whether it be the World Economic Forum or whatever corporations that have been sold out or what have you, even corporate governance that is being dictated by foreign entities is all unconstitutional. So the way we have to take it back is we actually have to get the counties to assert and to take their powers back. And then the we push it back to the states to limit them, and then we step in because the federal government's already been limited, folks. They're already operating well outside those bounds. So this is why using the color-coded Constitution is integral, and everywhere you go, you have to hold up this color-coded Constitution and say, look, this is the Constitution and how it is being violated. We can no longer allow this to persist. We must demand full compliance. Every single part of this Constitution is integral and is paramount that it be adhered to. So we kind of created this framework. We started talking about and we really focused on holding our public servants accountable to that very Constitution. And so yesterday, we dove into the county, and I went down, if you want to call it a rat hole, I went down this rat hole to help you understand how much more representation and how better life is when we have more representation. When you're involved at the county level in committees, Congress should not be having a committee to determine whether steroid use is good for the nation or not. This is where the counties need to determine steroid use for athletes. No, we're banning this. And then we apply that to the state if most counties agree. And then we apply that across the board. But we don't need to make a constitutional amendment to actually dictate that, you know, these substances need to be outlawed. We don't need that. We do not need to grant more and more power to a general government. They're there to support the evolution of our government in our hands. In other words, our county government. So what we have to do, and I kind of talked about, and I alluded to this, that organizing your county is a lot easier if you actually start working with the local, we'll call it conservative party, whatever that is. The more conservative, possibly the better. I will advise and warn that, you know, you can easily get involved with, I will call, a theological Christian sect of a party, whether that be, you know, the Constitution Party, the Republican Party, it doesn't matter. You can get into this pathway where people want to actually create and marry religion integral to your government. You know, the framers, and I've talked about this in detail, the framers have absolutely talked, and Madison's Remonstrance on Religion really speaks to this, that the fact is, we don't want a particular Bible. We don't want a particular faith dictating standards. What we want is we want to make sure that everybody has the right to learn and choose and live their lives as long as they're not harming others, as long as they're not, you know, doing things that are, you know, considered contrary or bad behavior. So anyway, as we kind of look at getting organized, though, we want to make sure that it is focused on the Constitution and the framework of liberty, not ideologies of a particular sect, because that's where we start making mistakes. Now, it shouldn't matter, you know, what religious leader is the chair, you know, or I should say what the religion or faith of a person is, as long as they are hardcore advocates for the Constitution and individual liberty and individual sovereignty. And I believe that was the design, the divine hand of providence design, not to necessarily create a Christian nation, but to create a nation for all to come in into the fold with liberty to be able to receive the truth and be able to make their own determination of how they want to live, what religion they want to follow. And when we look at, you know, like Islam and those types of nations, you don't have that freedom. You don't have liberty. That's why there is a direct conflict with many of those types of religions or ideologies like communism, because you don't have the freedom. Government dictates these choices. That's why there is no business in America. There is no allowance in America to accept any form of compulsion, regardless of the ideology or faith. You know, we have this thing that we believe religious expression is to be free for U.S. citizens. But if you're not a U.S. citizen and your expression or demanding that all people be free, except you want to impose Sharia law, then you've created a direct conflict. This is why people of certain faiths or ideologies can't actually and should not be, and they need to remove their citizenship from these types of folks. Because their outcome, or I should say, their objective is to a certain outcome in making compulsion a part of this land. And there's no room in America or in this world for compulsion. So anyway, don't want to, you know, just kind of live in this little rat hole. The bottom line is that we need to organize the county. And I'm going to say it again. I'm going to keep on saying this. The fastest way is to actually make an appeal to those reasonable people within your conservative party. That when I say conservative, those who want to restore liberty. So as you kind of explain that, you know, we can't be just focused on this part of the Constitution. We have to focus on every part of the Constitution that's being violated. Every part of the Bill of Rights is being violated. Every amendment that's being violated. We have to take a stand in demanding full compliance of the Constitution. This is why we're creating this repository of petitions, folks. When you start looking at all the petitions, and maybe next week we'll kind of go through that, we've definitely got a lot of things to kind of go through for you next week. Because we're starting from scratch, we're starting from the beginning again and going through our history of how we started moving away. And who knows, maybe I'll actually back it out to, you know, the very, very beginning and, you know, kind of talk or provide a historical narrative on liberty. But bottom line, as we move forward now, you need to get organized. Now, as you make the appeal to like-minded people, to reasonably minded people, just remember, reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. So all we have to do is get them to become equally informed. The fastest way when it comes to the Constitution and getting people equally informed is using a color-coded Constitution. I crack myself up sometimes when I mispronounce words. But anywho, as we look at the color-coded Constitution, it spells out exactly which parts of the Constitution are being violated. And if you want to go through how, you need to listen to our constitutional, when we read through the Constitution from September 17th, or I think it was the 19th or whatever, maybe the 18th this past year, because I think Constitution Day fell on a Sunday or it's on the weekend. But anyway, nevertheless, you know, we actually went through and read, Paul Venable and I, read the Constitution, and we identified why that's being highlighted and what the violations are. And in some ways, we increased the violation, the magnitude of the violation, far more egregious than it was, you know, a couple of years prior, because it has gotten worse, because tyranny has only increased, and it's going to continue to increase. And the Constitution is literally in a position where, because the federal government and these globalists are pushing us into a position where they are going to tell you that they have to set aside the Constitution, that we can't live under the Constitution anymore. And no one has that authority or power other than our state governments. And that is being driven by our county governments, which is why we kind of explain why counties matter most. Because all governments are basically based upon our county governments, where all of our political power resides. So you're organizing your county. And let's just play that down, this fact that you've got the party at this point in time and they're getting organized. You actually need to create a petition team, a petition committee, so that they can start working on petitions. And when I say working on petitions, working on obtaining signatures. This petition committee will work on obtaining the signatures as well as preparing the presentations of these petitions to go into each of your public servants at the county level, your sheriff and so forth. And as a matter of fact, you need to demand your sheriff, and we need a First Amendment petition that actually holds our sheriff accountable for arresting any public servant that denies us our right of petition. Because that is a constitutionally guaranteed act. We have a right to petition them for the grievances. And if they don't address them, if they don't redress our grievances, then they're to be removed. We have that power. This is why we have to demand the enforcement of the Constitution. Folks, if you start seeing and you start looking at this, the more we focus and demanding constitutional compliance, the stronger we become. So we're going to use petitions to highlight bad politicians. If your sheriff won't arrest your county commissioners when they want to ignore your petitions and say, we don't have to listen to this, then this is when your sheriff needs to step in, or you need to replace your sheriff. You need to replace your county. You may need to replace everybody, but I don't think so. I honestly think that there will be cases where you're going to find that these people will start waking up and they'll go, you know what? I never looked at it this way. I never realized my role and responsibility as a public servant. In other words, we're going to teach them, or we're going to either convert them or get rid of them, because that's the obvious choice. So we start using petitions and, you know, holding them accountable. But the other part that this petition committee needs, this is really critical. You need people to learn how to write petitions so that we can build a larger treasure trove. We want to hold everything, because what's more important isn't necessarily some of the local bad government. Because bottom line, you're going to find that almost every part, like the elections, like I mentioned yesterday, even though we see shenanigans being done by the state, it is all being enabled by the federal government. When you see energy policies coming down or environmental policies coming down that is constraining you, and your governor is passing, you know, laws that say, oh, you have to have nothing but electric cars for sale in by, you know, 2030 or 2035. They have no authority to do that. As a matter of fact, this is all being driven by the federal bureaucracies of the EPA and so forth. So how did they get into this position? They got into this position because of the federal government. So we have to focus how the federal government has been manipulating and driving and conducting political warfare, economic warfare, psyops, all different forms of warfare against we the people. What we're really doing is we're not only taking back our election, we are putting asunder, we are ending the federal government's ability to manipulate us. And in so doing, this large treasure trove, this central repository, because here's the beautiful thing about this. If we really focus on the U.S. Constitution, because you're going to find that your state constitution and many of the state laws and everything else are all, the source of all of this evil is coming from the federal government. So as we focus on the real problem, it alleviates the problem at the state level as well. Because if the federal government can't invoke these things or basically create these federal laws that your state wants to try to enforce, whether they be EPA, what have you, whether they be social services, what have you. You know, the fact that your state has taken control of your children and your parenting has all come from the federal government. When you really lift the rock, when you really lift the issue and examine underneath this, the details of how they have taken your parental rights away, the federal government was directly involved. Even though the state is passing the laws, the state seems to be the bad guy. They're being enabled by the federal government. So don't think that, oh, we got to just focus on the state. No, because if you focus on just your state, you're only picking at one fingernail. But when we write a petition that proves that the federal government has been, you know, created the portals to inject into our own personal lives to start mandating regulations and laws that they have no authority to regulate and mandate, like child support enforcement agencies, all of these types of things, under the guise of, oh, this is for the children, this is for the good of the children. And now they have taken away your parental rights? If we actually identify the real monster behind all of this, then you're not only solving it at the state problem, you're solving it across all states, because we have done the work so that every state can take these exact same petitions and utilize them. So what's really, really important, folks, is that your committee in the petition committee, this is your, I'll just say your bread and butter of your campaign. And when I say campaign, I'm talking about a PR campaign against bad government. That's exactly what these petitions do. By utilizing the color-coded Constitution and by creating petitions that are either dealing with direct violations of the Constitution or assumed powers that are unconstitutional, just like taking away your parental rights, just like the environment, just like energy policies and so forth and so on. As we lay out these petitions, this becomes the PR campaign, because as everybody starts learning that this is nothing but tyranny, there's very few Americans that really want to be subjugated by a Hitler form of government, by a dictator or a government of compulsion. Most Americans are already waking up. They just don't understand the magnitude of the problem, nor do they understand the kind of the source, how we got here. And they're completely confused with, you know, what's really going on, because they get caught up on myopic issues. So as we actually get organized, the more organized you get, the more effective you become. The more effective you become, the better chance you have of getting rid of every bad person in your government, from your sheriff. And so one of the things we have to do that I really didn't lend to in Republicanisms, because I kind of went down this, you know, long course yesterday, one of the key things that we have to do, and so the other petition that we actually have to drive, is making all our elections local. So that's the fourth petition regarding our elections. And so I got 1 minute going into the break, and I've talked a lot about making elections local. This is not the first time the airwaves or my shows have talked about this. What we're talking about in making all elections local is keeping all foreign interests out of your election. Now, what you need to do is you need to look at the scope of the very specific measure, or I should say the area of your election. Is it a city election? Is it a city issue? Then only those people and those entities within that city, businesses and so forth, only they have a voice in their representation. So in other words, the smallest form of an election area would be a town or a very specific within the county type of region. So I'm going to kind of part going into break on this. I want you to think about the area of the election. Is the area of the election your school district? Is the area of the election your public utility district, which may be much larger in multiple counties or what have you? But we need to start thinking in scope of the area of the election. And when we come back, we'll talk about representation of that.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so when I'm talking about the area of elections, so just let's get to the fundamentals again of republicanism. What is republicanism? Republicanism is the rule of law, right? And American republicanism is not just the rule of law, but a representative government, but a representation of not just the people, because that would be, you know, more like a democracy. That would be more like Britain or a monarchy or even a communist type of form of government. We recognize that, and this is the unique thing, that governments are instituted by men. They're not foreordained by some monarchy and by some faith or some cardinal or some coronation. That we, the people, are to choose whom can serve us best for ourselves. And so as we kind of go down this path of, you know, these, what I call this American, republicanism, you know, we actually have representation, and the most precious representation we have is our government representation. In other words, our county government is to actually keep and protect us from an exuberant state government and to protect us from a very ambitious and aggressive federal government. It all stems and starts at the county. So as we start looking at, you know, how we do government, how we do our elections, we have to actually think in accordance of the Constitution, Article 4, Section 4, that we're to have a Republican form of government. So as we start breaking down the area of election, this is where people permanently reside. Now, let's back up, because we have the technology and the ability to acknowledge that somebody in a neighboring county within your state may actually own property. We also want to make sure that those people who are voting in the election actually have skin in the game. In other words, it is not open democracy, mob rule. Let's say you actually want to have a property tax. You want to, you know, the state's mechanism of devising, you know, how you're going to fund your education system is via property tax. That's how they've been doing it. And or levies, whatever. But bottom line, the burden is placed upon the property owner. Well, then only property owners should have say on that particular tax. Because bottom line, if you are not a property owner, then you're not going to bear the burden. You bear the burden through increased rents and those types of things, but that actually becomes nominal. Bottom line is only those people who are directly affected by the tax. Remember, taxation without representation. You know, if you don't own property, then how can you claim representation? Because you're not being taxed directly. If it's an indirect tax, we're all hit with indirect tax. But when there is a direct tax against you, this is how socialism has gotten a foot in America, by basically being able to allow all the voters to take from those who have to basically give to them and give to those who have not. That's a redistribution of wealth. And that system is not acceptable in America. Not acceptable. I will just say the noble intent is that everybody should aspire to become self-sufficient and to become property owners and to become a part of that. But, you know, there are some people that don't need to do that. They're more of an artisan. They're more of a, you know, an artist or what have you. Maybe you don't want to do that. Maybe you don't want to, you know, get entangled in those things. It's free to choose. But there are consequences to our decisions. Don't say, I want to have the benefits of something I've chose not to do. I want to have the benefits of having kids, even though I participate in behavior that will not allow me to have kids. There are consequences to our decisions, and we have to, the day we start removing consequences for our decisions is the day we pervert our the essence of our society. And we can't allow that. So these fundamental tenets, as we start operating within these kind of confines, that, you know, you need to have skin in the game. You know, if this is an election for the people within a faith, how is it that the Republican Party has these organizational elections and we, the people, don't vote? Because you have to have skin in the game. It's the same thing with stock. You know, if you own stock in Ford only, that you get to vote in the governance of Ford, but you can't vote in the governance of all other stocks. So why would we allow, you know, this concept of everybody has access to govern everything? That has to change. Getting back to more specifically on the area of election, we really want to focus on making sure that the money or any resources that are being committed and put into an election race, a campaign, cannot come from outside your area. We have to start shaming any candidate, any measure, any form that, you know, within the election process, anything on that ticket, anything on that ballot that is obtaining money from California, from New York, or from any external foreign source. Let's define foreign. If it is a county election and somebody from another county wants to inject themselves into your county, they're a foreigner. It doesn't matter if they're a U.S. citizen or not, they're a foreigner. The only way a person can inject themselves into all elections is only when it comes to the Constitution. In other words, they have to have a hard measure of this person supports these aspects of the Constitution, in contrast to these other people. In other words, we want to make sure that it's okay to focus on the constitutionality and the ability of an individual to support the Constitution because they understand it. So let's say Hillsdale College actually wakes up and recognizes the color-coded Constitution, starts recognizing just how much of the Constitution is being violated. As a matter of fact, I need to go onto their Facebook page and start hammering them for how they constantly fail to identify how, you know, like they're railing on the World Economic Forum in the social media, and they're saying, well, this is bad, we need to stop this. But they not once do they say that the World Economic Forum is an unconstitutional entity operating in the United States. It's a direct violation of the Constitution. Well, okay, they don't want to do that because then they would have to change their paradigm. They're the opposite side of the same coin. In other words, they have a progress. This is why I'm not a fan of Hillsdale College. There are some entertainers out there that love them. I am not a fan of anybody that does not call a violation a violation. And they don't recognize the magnitude of all the violations. They don't recognize a color-coded constitution. They're not in line with the Constitution. So back to Hillsdale College. Let's say Hillsdale College wakes up and they create a really good academic constitutional test that they put out for every public servant. And let's say we, the people, demand that every public servant, you know, if you're going to become a county, you know, supervisor, sheriff, whatever the position is, they have a tailored test for that position. And we all look at these tests and we go, these are really good tests. We should demand that every public servant take that test, because based on that test, we'll determine how much better one candidate is over the other. Because it is the measure of their understanding their responsibility as a public servant. It's a standard. It's almost the same as having a standard for a plumber. They have to understand how to sweat, you know, joints and how to do certain things. And I'm not a plumber, so I'm not going to dive into it. And same thing with doctors, nurses, any type of technical skill, any type of profession has standards. There's nothing wrong with having a standard. So when I say that a foreigner cannot just say, hey, I endorse this person, like what Trump does. No, we have to have a standard that because this person scored better, then I have to support that person because they understand the Constitution better. Folks, what would happen? What would happen if all of a sudden people were going into office that actually understood their responsibility and how they could be held accountable? You know, ignorance is bliss. Well, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of bliss in our government, and they're just running away and running us off the cliff because of their bliss. When we have a well-grounded government in understanding the enumerated powers. Well, that's not enumerated. We can't do it. Understanding that there's only one way that they can actually do something, and that is to amend the Constitution if it does not exist within the Constitution. So therefore, when we start looking at the area of election, we want to make sure that nobody's influencing it, but it doesn't mean that we can't allow outsiders to actually provide, like Hillsdale College can provide, tests that everybody can use. This is any county commissioner, supervisor should know these very fundamental things, that funding that comes from the federal government on roads or highways or energy or blah, 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 you know, forestry is unconstitutional. That if you take that, then you're equally culpable of accepting an unconstitutional funding source. Bottom line, if we get government to not do the things it's supposed to do, then what we'll end up doing is we'll free ourselves from government controlling and regulating us out of using our own lumber, out of using our own coal, out of using our own minerals that are underneath our own feet. Oh, by the way, tell me and show me where anywhere in the Constitution or your state constitution where you have surrendered the mineral rights of your property. There is, and we need to talk about these types of things, because we can't allow a free-for-all anarchical system. In other words, we do have to have some measures of controls, but that needs to be done at the county level to the state. That's not to be done from the federal government down to the county. From the county level to the state, and the federal government has no involvement in domestic matters, period. Their only involvement within domestic matters is the regulation of commerce among the states. In other words, ensuring that one state is not taking advantage, or a few states aren't taking advantage of other states. So, as we kind of look at making all elections local, we want to make sure that every dollar that goes into a campaign, that goes to a candidate, that that individual, if that's just your personal money, that and you live within that election area, then you can contribute whatever the finance limitations, if you want to create any or what. However, let's say somebody is within your area that is an Amazon retailer, And let's say that person only sold, well, you know, their revenue of business was maybe $100,000. And so most of that revenue actually came from people outside of the county area. In other words, they were selling online to people, and only 2% out of that $100,000, only 2%, which means $2,000, were derived out of local purchases. Then they can only contribute either a percentage or up to whatever that limit is you want to decide. But bottom line, they can't use the profits, or they can't allow Amazon to funnel money into your county to buy and pay for campaigning to overwhelm you with a bunch of dogma so that some other candidate gets elected. When we start focusing on republicanism and we start focusing on, you know, how our elections really should be conducted, that we have our representation, where in the heck does some affluent, you know, Bill Gates, where does he get off saying, I want to be able to buy every representative in America? He's only entitled to one, and that's where he lives. That's his representative. You know what? I don't care how much money he has. He can choke on it. But he cannot use, and as a matter of fact, we need to make it so that people cannot use money as a weapon to fight and control us. We're a free people, and we need to be free from those types of encumbrance. We need to be free from the affluent. You know, when all of a sudden the affluent can't get away with doing all of these evil things that they do, then all of a sudden they'll go, well, when money no longer creates power, because we allow them that power because we want a part of it. And the real problem is that if we actually change our paradigm and say money can't create power anymore, in other words, you can't come into the state and buy up our agricultural land and starve us, because that is the exertion of power. That's an evil exertion of power. Yeah, you can do good things with that, and you can just hand it out to people, and you can help people that, you know, I'm going to go down a little rat hole. When we look at contributions and actually giving people things, you know, helping people out, there's nothing wrong with compassion, and there's nothing better than an individual, you know, actually helping a brother up, helping a sister up, and being able to become self-sufficient. But it's a very evil person that actually just comes along and says, I want to give you money, and I don't care what you do with it. And you know, that enables them to do whatever they want to do and live the lifestyle. It is very destructive when you do that. So when we really look at compassion and compassion services, like a welfare system, you know, we have to help people actually walk away from their lifestyle that's destroying them. If you want to have any type of social health care, you cannot just give health care to anybody and everybody with no questions asked, no prior conditions, that kind of crap. You know, you have to basically lay it out that what you have done, you have to bear the consequences of that. I mean, if you were involved in an accident, that's one thing. But if you were drunk driving and you hurt yourself, and because you made a bad decision, you should have to bear the brunt of that. I mean, accidents happen, but bad decisions are never a justification for that accident. As a matter of fact, you know, you may not see somebody. I mean, that's literally happened. You just don't see that person, or your mind wasn't there. That's not the same thing as being mentally impaired because you're drunk or you're driving because you're so tired. And I have more mercy for people who are driving, just trying to get home, and they're just so tired. And it's only 10 more minutes. This is why, folks, most of the accidents happen within, you know, a couple miles of home. Because people, I can sleep my way home now. And that's what ends up happening. Bottom line, when we're looking at this, you know how we allow power, how we allow money to actually come in and corrupt us. You want money to be involved in elections? This is why we have corrupt elections. The Supreme Court and our federal government has said we allow all money to be involved. Oh, well, we kind of have a problem with governments, but it was okay for Obama to receive millions of dollars from foreigners in his campaigns. They just opened it up to allow non-U.S. Hey, if you're not a citizen, you should have no way at all to be able to influence financially or any other way an election. So back to and pulling back out of these on these petitions and the election petitions, we have to start demanding in a petition our Republican form of government be adhered to. That, you know, if you don't have a dog, if you don't have skin in the game, if you don't live within our county, you cannot influence our elections. We can shut down your Congress people coming back from Congress with globalist money, this huge treasure trove, and winning their election again. Remember, we can actually displace, we can actually destroy the swamp, not just displace it, but destroy it. As I told you, by actually going to compliance to the apportionment, getting 30,000 people representation properly, we can actually reframe our government so that we don't have all of these hired hands and this huge megalopolis, or whatever you want to call that urban area of D.C., where it's been a housing market that has never suffered a bubble. It's about time they had a correction out there, because they do not need to be the center of our lives. The center of our lives is our counties. And as a matter of fact, we need to bring our representatives home, because we have the technology to do it. We have everything. If you laid this out, if we were all sitting in a room, and we had an open and honest dialogue and put everything on the table, there's no doubt in my mind we would all move forward in living to and abiding by those words in the Constitution, that apportionment is to 30,000, it shall not exceed 30,000. And that our county representation, our state representation can increase as well. They don't need, when we actually increase government, we don't necessarily need to increase the cost. We can actually decrease it, because they shouldn't be working full time. As long as everybody's contributing, then it's hard to justify why all of these people deserve, you know, access to this trough of millions of dollars. There's all sorts of common sense that we can play into this, but we have to understand the concept of all elections must be local, because it is the only way to conform to our republicanism. We cannot allow people who do not deserve representation in your community because they don't live there. They should have zero influence. It's one thing to inject, you know, standards of constitutional standards and say this person is the most constitutional based on the outcome of this particular test. And then, you know what? Reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. We show everybody the test and go, well, this is the communist test and this is the constitutional test. It becomes very obvious that, you know, this test, you know, promotes, you know, unconstitutional behavior and unconstitutional understanding, that it's okay to take from those who have to give to those who have not. This is the Robin Hood test. And then over here, we have a test that understands that this government does not have these authorities. They do not have these powers. The powers are listed right here and only here. And only these things they can do. Anything else they can't do. Folks, when you really lay it out like that, who's going to win the argument with we the people? We're going to actually come to a point that as we start separating, and those people do not realize that they've been bamboozled by these really evil forces those people who have been bamboozled and they finally realize that they have been, and that they're agreeing and embracing such perverted concepts that are destructive, proven to be destructive. If they don't abandon their ways and they want to maintain and they want to promote and actually help grow their cause, there's question of whether these people should be citizens. Because what is the obligation of a citizen of any nation? It is to support and defend that what that nation stands on. And that what this nation stands on is the Constitution. Our law is king, as John Adams stated. In other words, the Constitution is our king. And then your state constitutions are your princes. And actually, it should be reverse of all of that. Even though the U.S. Constitution is so perfect, this is why it is the bedrock. Your state constitution is secondary to your county. And then we start laying everything in line, because if we lay everything in line to that U.S. Constitution, we're going to find that our county government is going to be far more streamlined and far more citizenry involved. In other words, you, the citizens, are going to be governing yourself. We're going to actually get back to a self-governing system where instead of working 40 hours a week, we're actually going to maybe work 30 hours and be involved in our own governing. Instead of actually paying taxes so that we can make more money, we're going to actually live with better liberty. What's better for America? What is better for our children? What is better for our posterity? For a government and a body to actually live within their means, become self-sufficient, and to be satisfied, to be happy with what you have to be happy with. In other words, you know, we've got to start putting aside greed, avarice, and lust. We have to start living within those means. So this is why this PR campaign and using the Constitution literally becomes, I'll just say, the big weapon. It becomes the big destroyer of bad politicians. With that, with my, I guess, last minute, it's been a great year. I have many people to thank. I am a blessed man because I have such great people in my life. I love you all. I love the Constitution, and I love our liberty. I love the fact that there's so many out there that are willing to actually step up and do what's necessary. I pray and hope that those of you who have been following and who have been listening understand that if we focus on Constitution, on the Constitution, and focus on compliance to it, let's not worry about these other little niceties, these other little nice things that we might be able to do. Let's get government in check first. Let's get them to live within those powers delegated and only those powers delegated. And then let's figure out how we can improve upon that. Because I'm telling you, folks, once we get the genie back in the bottle, life gets a lot better. So with that, I hope everybody has a very safe New Year's, and that you're all back with us on New Year's Day. Maybe I'll play the, how to set effective goals for those people who might need that. We'll see. Maybe I'll do another live show. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.